Hello and welcome to Freedom Good Home, the internet's only remaining podcast after they were banned by, Putin or something. My name is Michael Heng, and joining me for the first time in a long time is a man who is back by popular demand in replacement of Ben Jenkins, who is currently on the run after committing some horrible crimes. It is Jack Drews. Hello, Jack.
Hello. I've always seen myself as the people's Ben Jenkins. It's how I describe myself, even to strangers, actually.
People who have no interest in podcasting or Australian comedy.
Yeah. If I'm at Starbucks and they're like, what's your name? I say, the people's Ben Jenkins, please.
Even as a child, yeah. Growing up in Canada, you would, prior to meeting Ben Jenkins, or even
long before I had an inkling about Ben Jenkins, I knew
Your first words to your mother were, I am the people's Ben Jenkins.
Yeah, and like way before children are supposed to speak as well, like hauntingly early, like
4 days after being born.
Yeah.
Just Jack's eyes go entirely red. He says, I'm the people's Ben Jenkins. And then he becomes silent for the next four years.
Yeah, 4 years.
It's so good to chat to you because you and I are friends, and we used to do a podcast together before you abandoned me to the horrible city of Melbourne.
God, I'm sorry. That was a big mistake on my part. Genuinely was. So early into the podcast game, what was I thinking?
The Drews and Heng podcast, which is what it was called, and it no longer exists, but someone mentioned it in our Freedom of Good Home Facebook group the other day, and I was like, lol, I bet you there were like four people who listened to that or whatever. And then there was like a bunch of people who were like, what's Jack up to? How is Jack?
That's very
bring
nice.
Back the Drews and Heng podcast. And I was like, he abandoned me to Melbourne. I'll never work with this motherfucker again. there are people who are, if you can imagine, Jack, people who are fans of our early work.
That's great. I can't imagine that. Like, I can't.
I can't even remember what our podcast was about. I honestly cannot remember a single thing we talked about on that podcast.
Because I'll have like flashbacks of just things, not even like broadcast things, but just like who I was as a person then. And I'll just like have those like, you know, you're just having a nice day and then you just get a memory and your like whole face tenses up and you're like, oh God, that was, why was I that? Like I'll have that constantly. And then I'll also remember like, oh, at that time I was, choosing to broadcast an hour of me talking every week. Like,
yeah, so I think it was a time when you were 19 or something or whatever.
Yeah.
You were a child. And also, I was a bit older than you, but I was, insufferable as well, obviously, as we all were. you were also living in a house that had a giant Darth Maul painted on the front, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, life was crazy, dude.
Yeah.
So for people who haven't been keeping up with you since the end of the Drews and Heng podcast, what have you been doing for the last 7 years?
I came to Melbourne specifically to rile up Heng was my main plan.
And achievement unlocked.
Yeah, I don't know, just doing, I've been doing stand-up still, a lot of comedy. Mm-hmm. I did TV writing for a long time and then sort of quit in a big like very inspired like I'm gonna follow my dreams kind of thing, and that was like exactly when this pandemic started, so wasn't the best time to be like I'm going all in on stand-up comedy, baby.
Take that, showbiz, get fucked. Yeah. I'm gonna run my own race, a race that is now being adjudicated by a global pandemic.
Yeah, exactly.
One thing you've been doing that I have been genuinely thoroughly enjoying, and I'm not just saying this because you've agreed to come on the podcast, the videos you've been putting out on Twitter and stuff, what's your Twitter? Is it just at Jack Drews?
Yeah, just at Jack Drews.
Man, they're so funny. Like, it's so lovely to see just really funny Twitter videos that aren't like, I don't know, a person talking to themselves in a hat, screaming at themselves or whatever.
Yeah, like, yeah. Well, it's been fun, like, because I want to do, it's not like any of them have really, like, been, you know, super successful or anything, but it's just, like, fun to do. Yeah, because I'm the same. I just get, like, so annoyed of just, I think people see doing, like, it's just, like, I think it's as soon as the word content got in the, like, vocabulary. People are just like, oh, it doesn't have to be that good. I just have to do it all the time and stuff. Yeah. Where I feel like actually, like the comedy bit is fun, but it's just like learning about some filmmaking stuff has been like the most fun thing in lockdown, just doing all tutorials and learning how to use a camera properly and stuff like that. So I would love to just do way more of that, like after lockdown, if I could. Is my
As I said, your Twitter handle is at Jack Drews, and you were like, none of these are really successful or whatever. There's what they've got like hundreds of likes and stuff, which is pretty good.
Yeah, some of them went over.
I'll also say that like, if you know the listeners of this podcast, because they like this podcast, they're probably into things that haven't blown up yet. You know,
yeah.
They're into stuff that hasn't quite hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is annoying though. Like, it's a medium that it's like, it stresses me out how, just how much access my parents have to it. Because I feel like with stand up or podcasts or something, it's like, well, they're not going to listen every week, or they're not going to come to my gigs or something. But if I put out like a 2-minute video on Twitter, they're probably going to watch that. And it's like, the last one I put out was like a guy, it's like the crookest thing I've ever done. It's like a guy who keeps getting tricked into sucking off pigs or something. And it's just like, absolutely no. I think it's very funny, but it's absolutely no good. And now it's just like, every time it's just this extra, I feel there's vulnerability in posting anything, but this time it's just like, God damn, am I going to have to talk to my mom about a guy getting tricked into sucking off a pig? This is
especially
going to be horrible.
Without doxing you, your parents live in a different place to you. They live outside of, in a different state to you.
Yeah.
And so during this pandemic, while, you know, people have been in various lockdowns and whatnot, of course, the natural feeling of any parent is to be concerned about the welfare of their child. So if they're only, the only thing they're seeing about your output or your life or whatever right now is Jack keeps putting out these suck off pig videos.
Yeah.
It's just every day they send an ambulance to your house to check on you just in case.
That's when you know you're doing good comedy, when like paramedics have to come to your home and drag you to a hospital. They're like, that's when you know you're really pushing the fucking boundaries, you know?
Yeah. My parents have been watching a little bit of the puzzle show on SBS recently.
Yeah.
I talked about this on the podcast before. The first time they turned it on, we were watching it as a family together, and my dad said, my parents in unison, as I said, hello and welcome to Celebrity Letters and Numbers, my parents both said in unison, you look quite fat. And I was like, well, I'm not doing this, and left.
Oh, my God.
And last night, my dad, my parents actually watch it now, or at least my dad does. I don't think my mom does. But dad actually watches it now. Anyway, it has, like, fun showbiz questions for me now.
Yeah.
I guess this is the first, like, TV thing that has been, that they've watched that, like, I guess they would have questions about.
It's very, like, like, you've done a lot of TV stuff, but I feel like this specifically is, like, very, like, what an older person would recognize as show business.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, as opposed to, you know, again, a 2-minute sketch about sucking off pigs or whatever, you know.
Yeah,
you know, or whatever, you know, that I might have done at the feed or something. But last night he was like, Michael, when you do that show, do they let you do it again if you make a mistake? And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, oh, just, you know how, like, in movies they do takes? Do they do that for your show as well? And I was like, I guess they do. He's like, oh, doesn't seem like it. anyway. So, yes, that's Jack. Jack's here. Ben's not here. As I said, he's on the run after doing some horrible crimes. But I thought what we might do this week, Jack, in Ben's absence, is go through... it's not a classified... It is a series of emails that I've discovered. This is a newsletter that is being sent out by a real estate agent. I guess I won't say their name, even though I tweeted out screenshots of this, so you know, people will be able to find it if they want to. Anyway, so Jack, I've sent you a link. It's the news section of this person's website, so all the emails are available there. If you want to click on the one that says Last Man Standing, that's the one we'll start with.
Great. I do love all the titles for these. Like, I just had a look before, and they're just like... It If you didn't
know,
they're
so incredibly aggressive.
Yeah, if you didn't know it was a real estate, the first one of these newsletters is the hunter becomes the hunted.
Yeah, exactly. But just a bit of background. Hum and I are looking to move. So we went to a house inspection the other day.
Yeah.
And in order to go to a house inspection, you've got to sign up. You got to email the real estate agent, and they just automatically add you to their lists, right? So I had, and we couldn't afford the place, so it doesn't matter. But we went to this thing, and basically I'm on this mailing list now for this guy who does, like, I think kind of like luxury stuff certainly stuff that's out of our price range. I don't know if it's luxury, but like whatever. He's like a fancy real estate agent is what it seems to be. And so this is the email he sent probably about 2 weeks ago now. And it reads, so my one says, "Dear Michael, for anyone wondering what happened between myself and Wendy, it didn't work out, as in her excessive abuse continued. To be fair, it was an unlikely love story. Well, the good news is, in 2021, it can only get better from here. Freedom Day is nigh, and it's a mere 11 weeks until Christmas."
Oh, man. That's
the opening paragraph.
Yeah. God, to kick it off like that rules so much. And it's like, he's not, like, I can see his picture. This is not like an old pirate or anything either. Like, this is like a young professional character, like, to be like, "Freedom Day is nigh," at all. Like, I don't know.
It's just also fun that it continues. "The property market is now in its final run of the year, and whilst we cannot run open homes on on-site or on-site auctions, it seems that restrictions will ease on those very soon enough. Huzzah!" is what he says. Anyway, I guess the thing that struck me about this when I first read it was just opening up about a breakup or something. For anyone wondering what happened between myself and Wendy, it didn't work out, as in her excessive abuse continued. So immediately, Jack, I was like, who the fuck is Wendy? Like, is this person just been through it? Has their marriage broken down? What is going on? Like, you know, because...
Yeah, and he clearly thinks that the people following this, you know, have some context on Wendy as well. It's like he's keeping them updated on the Wendy saga that they signed up to hear about when they got on his real estate mailing list.
And again, the reason I'm on his real estate list is because I wanted to know if he had any two-bedroom apartments. That's why I signed up. So I'll now direct you to... I've done a bit of digging. I'll direct you back to the section of his website that does all these things, and click on the one beforehand called "Everyone Loves a Cupcake." This is dated October the 1st, 2021. Do you see that one?
Yeah.
Okay. So this one starts off, "Dear Michael, one of the greatest joys is reading the regular hate mail I receive in reply to this newsletter."
Yes. Yes.
So this was sent out the week before. So this is so I went digging to go in previous episodes of previous issues of the newsletter. So he goes, "Clearly this lockdown has had an impact on my social life. Thank you, Wendy, for your lengthy and thoughtful character assassination. There is a signed t-shirt in the mail." And I was like, who is Wendy? And he continues, "I'm sorry, Wendy, in an industry where image, fast money, and expensive cars reign supreme, it's just so easy to have a dig. And it's fun. Don't feel too sorry for some of the Muppets I've been calling out. They are probably doing okay." And then it just goes into more real estate talk. But
this is incredible. Like, do you think when he says there's a signed t-shirt in the mail, do you think that's just a joke? Or do you think he has t-shirts available that he could be signing and sending to people?
It's very possible. I mean, because he's... like, there's clearly an element of humor that... sorry, there's clearly an element of these emails, these newsletters, that he thinks is funny. Like, he's clearly trying to be funny. I think he maybe isn't being funny in the way that other people are laughing at him, necessarily.
Yeah. It's interesting
because, I signed up to this wanting to know if he had any two-bedroom apartments.
Yeah. I always thought, like, real estate agent is... like, I think when I was a kid and you just learn about all the different jobs that exist, it just seemed like any other job. Like, it's just this sort of... I'm sure there's a lot of admin and just you show people houses, and it just seems like any kind of normal job that an adult would have. And then I don't know what it is about this specifically where real estate agents, like... like, I'm a real estate agent, but I'm also this kind of, like, alpha dog king influencer, like, king of the universe as well. Like, that's my main thing.
I wonder if that is in just way more industries now because of social media. Like, there are people in, like, 50 years ago, I don't think comedians saw themselves as big Alpha Dog influencers, but now I can think of, like, at least three comedians in Australia. Who are, like, I mean, who are barely comedians, but are definitively, who are sort of influencers first and then have, and then sort of do occasional bits of stand-up comedy, you know, every now and again. But I wonder if that's also in other, like, industries as well. Like, are there, like, firefighter influencers, you know? Are there, like, you know, I don't know. Is there, like, a postman who's like, I'm the fucking dog of delivery, boy. Yeah. Like, I'm fucking
I'm out here grinding 24/7. I'm delivering packages people don't even want. I'm making my own packages, giving them to anybody. That's how I do it.
I'm putting pipe bombs in letterboxes.
That's how much I'm grinding. That's the hustle for me. It's like, sir, this is clearly domestic terrorism. You can't be. It's just like, don't be a hater,
I'm
dude.
I'm filling a pressure cooker with ball bearings. What are you doing? Call Asia. What is happening? This is all.
This is not. I don't know why you think this is what hard work is. It's not. A different thing is what you're describing. I'm obsessed with sorry, we'll go back to this guy, but I'm obsessed with, like, one of my great lockdown hobbies has just been finding, like, just insane sort of insane kind of, like, entrepreneur type inspirational, like, memes and posts and stuff on Instagram.
Oh, sure.
And just have me and a friend that just, like, try and find the best ones and go back and forth. And it's, like, it's the most fun thing in my life at the moment because they have these weird, like, they seem to love Mr. Bean quite a lot. Like, there'll be all these, like, keep grinding, get to the top, don't let haters keep you down. But it'll be, like, a picture of Mr. Bean and then, like, there'll be the before picture will be, like, Mr. Bean being silly and, like, sort of humiliated. And they'll be, like, black and white. And it's, like, then, and it'll be, like, now. And it's, like, non-character real man Rowan Atkinson, like, driving a Lamborghini or something. And it's like, never give up. And it's like, how do you, what do you mean? Like, what is, like, he was being successful as an actor pretending to be Mr. Bean. You know, that's how this works, right? Like,
you know, that's one of the most successful comedic characters in history. In history. Yeah,
there wasn't, like, and he just got it after, like, doing like Cambridge Footlights or something. It wasn't like,
yeah,
it was like years of hustle to, grinding to get to that Bean dollar.
Have you seen that James Acaster bit about Mr. Bean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like one of the all-time incredible pieces of comedy.
It's so good.
It's. I mean, I encourage everyone to go and find it where it's available. But it's James Acaster talking about how an ex-girlfriend broke up with him and then later started dating Rowan Atkinson. And that was how he realized that Mr. Bean was the most successful, you know, comedic character of all time. Yeah. Because suddenly he was seeing Mr. Bean everywhere. Anyway, go and seek that out. It's very, very good. Have you thought about in lockdown becoming a hustler of sorts, not like a side hustle, but like, I guess, a scam? Have you thought about scamming people out of their money in lockdown, Jack?
I mean, I think about it constantly. I don't know how. I haven't got, like, a good plan or anything yet. But, yeah, I definitely am approaching the world in much more of a real, like, psycho, nothing matters kind of outlook now. And I feel like that's going to lead to some good scams.
As in, like, you've been ground down by, for example, big comedy or whoever. And
yeah, exactly.
Or even little comedy. That's the other thing.
Yeah,
you can
be
ground down by little comedy as well.
You can be ground down of not having access to big comedy. That's the real grind.
it's just a matter of time until you. Here's something we should do for 2022. We should start it. We should do a show at the Comedy Festival in 2022.
Yeah.
That is all about scamming the Melbourne Comedy Festival out of money, whether it's grant money or it's just like, either it's like us applying for grants fraudulently by pretending to be people we're not, first-time comedians, etc. Or we just rob Will Anderson with a gun or something. I mean, either of these.
The smoothest scam around.
just approaching Dave Hughes in an alley with a gun.
Yeah. And I love, like, two guys
being
like,
"This is for art."
Talking about being old-timey grifters and, like, the grifter's code, but their main grift is they come at you with a weapon and get your money and run away. But they call it, like, the Louisiana Susie Q or something. Like, they got cool grifter names for it.
But it's just armed robbery.
It is armed robbery every time.
Celebrity comedians.
Yes. But it's, like, always little tweaks and stuff. Like, sometimes it's an alley, sometimes it's, like, in a car. And then if it's in a car, you're like, I got him with the old hopscotch Nelly, did you? Not bad.
Do you think people would pay? How much do you think people would pay to watch us rob Dave Hughes with a gun?
Oh, man. Robbing gang. That's great.
So maybe we present it as a podcast, right?
Yeah.
And we call the podcast "Give Us All Your Money" or something like that. And people are like, "Oh my goodness, Tristan Hinger back with a brand new podcast. What? We need to get on board with this." They were some of the original Australian comedy podcasters. Wow. Yeah. And so people pay to see this, right? And maybe we can charge like $30 for it or something. I don't know, $20. And then each night we have a special comedian guest.
Every night we're doing this. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
We rob on stage with a gun. So then you've got to think about which comedian, because obviously we can't, like, I mean, we could, I guess, force Dave Hughes or whatever to take us to an ATM and get his money that way with the gun, and the audience could follow us. But really what you want is comedians who have fat wallets and fat stacks of cash walking around. You know, that's who you really want to rob.
Yeah. I bet there'd be some little loophole, some legal loophole as well. You know how, like, you can't smoke indoors, but, like, you can in a play or something like that? Like, I think the fact that this is, like, technically performance art of some description is, like, I feel like there'd be some kind of gap we could get through here.
Like, we're, exactly. Like,
yeah, like us putting a knife to Dave Hughes and screaming at him for all his money was technically part of what the show was. So
that's what we got a moose head for that show. We got
it gets picked
should we
up
just,
for it.
Should we just apply to the moose heads or whatever and just say we want to do a show where we rob comedians every night? And just because it's just so crazy it might work.
We do like a real, like a wacky poster where we're like kind of shrugging and we're wearing like a sort of criminal, like a prisoner's stripey uniform with like a ball and chain
like a convict
type
uniform
thing.
From like 1920 or whatever.
Yeah, so they're like, oh, it's a wacky, fun, like imagine if we did this kind of thing. And then we just straight up do it every night.
as the audience comes into the theater, you and I are on stage sitting in chairs, like muttering to each other, doing bumps of speed off a key, like polishing a knife and a gun.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm pretty into this, I gotta say. I mean
this can't go worse than other comedy shows I've done at the comedy festival.
Oh no,
you know?
Definitely. This will be like,
at least there'll be some buzz around town, mostly from the police chatter, but there'll be some buzz.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, 2022. Drewson Hing robbing comedians on stage.
Or off. Could we do like
like a walking tour of Melbourne where we go to comedians' houses and burgle them?
Or just like a show where it's like us, it's like a live podcast kind of environment, but it's us just recapping the different crimes we did that day.
Oh,
so we'll go,
okay.
You know, we can do our crimes off mic, and then we get like show up in the evening and fans of our crimes can come on. We're like, yeah, we had a good one this today. We hit that petrol station and...
I worry, Jack, that obviously content wise, great idea. I worry though that if we're just recounting our crimes on stage and people aren't paying to watch us do the crimes, we may lose that legal loophole you were talking about before.
Yeah, that's a
and what we'd actually be doing is if we're recording it each night, what we'd be doing is actually recording what is tantamount to a series of confessions. Which in I don't mind telling you, in the legal world, that's a tricky one to get out of.
I would love to fight it to the bitter end in court, though. Just having like hours and hours of me specifically saying exactly when I did the crimes. Like, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I am representing myself and I am innocent.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, let's go back to these. So in this email, everyone loves a cupcake. We'll continue. So basically, he was talking about how the greatest joys are the regular hate mail he receives. And he gets to this bit where he goes, anyway, after watching... So he was basically... I think Wendy has gotten in touch with him, annoyed about him being annoyed at... The industry. So in many ways, he's, you know, not dissimilar to us in that he hates his industry. Yeah. He writes, anyway, after recently watching one of my competitors' market report videos and narrowly resisting the urge to throw my laptop off the balcony, I thought I should have a crack. But before that, I don't think you can call it a weekly market report if you just stand there and talk about your amazing sales. Would a better description be a weekly narcissistic check-in? That title might need some work. So I think he's clearly like, he's trying to be funny. And then he goes on to his, but then he goes on to his market report. The next one I want to bring to your attention.
Quickly interject. Like, it's so funny to be like aggressively calling out someone else. It's like, what is this? Like a weekly narcissistic check-in? It's like, what are you doing right now? Like, what is happening that you're doing like literally this second as you're typing this? Like,
okay, so if you go to the one before that, which is dated September the 24th, so he sends these out every week. This one is entitled "Someone Press Record." Is he starting a podcast?
Oh my god!
I won't read out the whole thing, but basically he's talking. Yeah, there's a bit. I won't read out the whole thing, but there's a bit that goes. It's probably no surprise that I was drawn to an industry that just seems to set new records every day or even every minute. In fact, I would go as far as to say that we were all in record time for records being recorded in real estate. A bit of funny wordplay there.
Very good.
Boy, oh boy, don't real estate agents love a record. Record for the street. Record number for the street. Record number of buyers. Record time on market. Widest teeth record. Tightest pants record. Record number of Muppets. There's that word again, Muppet. And this is where it gets to... I think this is what set off Wendy. He goes, that reminds me, the other Muppet indicator I forgot to mention last week. When an agent loses a listing to a competitor and then badmouths the property to buyers in the market. Mate, just because you couldn't sell it doesn't mean the property is the issue. So he's now... So I think this is the thing that must have annoyed Wendy. So he was talking about real estate agents who are obsessed with records and how people can't sell things and they get annoyed and whatever else. She must have then gotten in touch in the Everyone Loves a Cupcake episode of the email.
Yeah.
And said that she doesn't like the fact that he's calling them Muppets or something. Then he wrote about that. Then that's what made him send the email that was last man standing. For anyone wondering what happened to myself and Wendy, it didn't work out. So we now know, we can kind of contemplate that Wendy is a pro real estate industry reader of the email. Okay. So then I took screenshots of this because I thought it was really funny and just tweeted it out as a funny whatever. Yeah. I now direct you, Jack, to the most recent email, Hunter Becomes the Hunted, posted October 15th.
I love how you've structured at the correct order of, it's like a real, it's like
this is a true crime podcast now.
Yeah, it's got a real serial energy of like going through step by step, like giving you all the context. It's great.
Okay, this is the most recent email. Dear Michael, oh well, it was bound to happen. You, open brackets me, send out a slightly risque newsletter once a week and then one careens off the road, flips, rolls and snowballs into the village below. Whilst I am grateful to those who reached out last week to express concerns about a recent breakup, folks, it was a joke. Sadly, it flew over many people's heads and went viral. Lol. That's laugh out loud for our more mature readers.
What is happening? Oh my god.
Yep, I got lit up by the trolls on the internet, and there's now a whole army of they who must not be named. It seems the hunter has become the hunted.
Wait, and when he says trolls on the internet, does he mean you, Michael Hing, for tweeting this stuff, or?
I think so. I think I did it, and then I think a few other people posted it, like, off the back of me. So I don't know. I don't know. But I think I was the, I'm pretty sure I was the first person to tweet it, because I saw my screenshots elsewhere as well.
Right. And you tweeted it before this latest email came.
Yeah. So I think he's referring to me, Michael Hing, as an internet troll. Again, all I did was literally share an email that is publicly available on your website.
Yeah.
And then, sorry, go, yeah. And also, I like how he goes, it seems the hunter has become the hunted in the email. I like when people use the title in the thing. Like, you know how in a movie, they'll be like, and that's why we're heading to a Star War or whatever. And you're like, that's why it's called Star Wars. You know, I love when they do it. It always is like, oh, that's the title.
Yeah, yeah. And when I'm in the cinema, I stand up and scream when that happens.
Fuck yeah!
Come on, baby! Woo!
And then he goes, speaking of hunting, gears crunch as I attempt to segue back to real estate. It's been happy hunting out there for home buyers as stock levels have risen since Freedom Day or whatever. And it's like, mate, this is your newsletter. You don't have to talk about everything else. You could just talk about, the two-bedroom apartment I was inquiring about. That's what you could talk about.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, hey, now we're talking about him. There's a lot of buzz about him. You know, he's an alpha dog in the... in the real estate world, and more luck. I think all luck to him. You know,
yeah.
If I could afford the properties he was selling, you know, I might engage with this psycho.
Yeah, I do feel like there's such a growing portion of the population that don't really like. I'm pretty bored with like sort of most like mainstream entertainment options, but just really, really love just finding just weird psychos on the internet. Like,
yeah, 100%.
I feel like he's hitting the right niche here. Like if he really leaned into this and like his real estate newsletters just became this like aggressive list of enemies and stuff every time. I feel like that would eventually the weird internet people who love this shit would eventually get to a place in their life where they do need to buy a home. And it's like, well, I got to use this guy. Like I'm not going to.
Jack, you have a very good newsletter that people sign up to. Have you ever thought about going full psycho in your newsletter and just it because what it currently is sort of a list of like it's jokes and funny writing and humorous essays and stuff. Have you ever thought about converting it to being a list of your enemies and their addresses, just doxing people?
Yeah, very. I haven't done it in a while, just through lockdown, and I'm starting it up again. But yeah, I would love to just get like. It would almost be like I think the worst part of doing the newsletter. That I've realized is that it is me and myself and my life where I feel like when there's something like a lockdown or whatever, I'm like, oh, I kind of don't really have anything to write about. Where I would love to do a newsletter like that could be like genuinely a really fun comedy project is just doing a newsletter as if I was some like crazy real estate agent in Sydney and then just starting it off on this level of crazy, but then just truly going off the rails and.
Like just like a series of emails where you're planning some crimes, you know? Like,
yeah.
But sending that to your newsletter.
He gets so like disillusioned with the property market that he just gives up on living in a house completely as a protest. Like he's just living in the swamps and just like fighting for meat and stuff, but still keeping up this very professional newsletter every week.
But like each week he goes and gets more headshots taken.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Over the series of emails, you see like a decline in his appearance. He's like he's slowly more, ever more covered in vines and raggedy.
Yeah, there's clearly at one point some of his one of his swamp enemies gets control of the newsletter, and there's like this there's this completely different tone. The photo's like all off. And then he threw some kind of like through some sort of ritual combat, he gets control of the email back. And well, this is a real treat. This guy's awesome.
I haven't unsubscribed from his email. Actually, sorry, I should say I unsubscribed from his email, and then once I kind of followed it through, I've resubscribed to his email listing, and it's kind of, there'll be occasional real estate updates on the podcast now if people are interested, because I want to see the moment he snaps, frankly, because it's coming for all of us, really, the snapping moment where we've had enough, and I would love to see it for him. I'd love to be there for him documenting his crimes that he eventually will do.
Do you think he'll become like a Joker type figure?
Oh, sure.
Like a real estate
the
Joker.
The Joker, but... Yeah, the Twisted Prince of the Twisted Clan of comedy.
Yeah,
would you, if you turned up to a house inspection for a rental or a property you want to buy or something, Jack?
Yeah,
and the real estate agent was wearing an entire purple suit, green tie, Joker makeup. Would you mention it, or would you?
That's interesting, because I feel like if I was showed up to a thing and. It was the real estate agent was like absolutely just a Joker. It's like there's, I feel like the one obvious joke is it's like, yeah, like I'm a millennial. My options of buying a house are so nothing anyway that I just assume it's never going to happen. So if I could buy a house from the Joker, I just would. Like, it wouldn't, it's not like I would like shop around and try and find someone who wasn't the Joker. I'd be like, yeah, this is crazy. I'm buying a house. Like, of course. And yeah, what are you? Clown Prince of Madness? Great. Can I? It's a normal house, though. It's not like a Joker clown house that I have. If I wouldn't live in like a haunted chaos Joker mansion where there's like burning money and gasoline and stuff everywhere. But if the Joker could just sell me a regular house, I would absolutely take it.
Oh, actually, speaking of a twisted house of puzzles and a twisted house of danger, Hum and I went to see a house yesterday or an apartment yesterday. Just we're trying to move, and the house we saw, it had the tenant or the owner had clearly erected an illegal wall inside the apartment that they hadn't told anyone about. And the reason we knew this is because there was a third room with these paper thin walls adjoining the living room, and you could kind of like you almost the walls were so thin you could almost see through them, right? But they were plastered in. And the reason we knew it was hastily erected was because if you looked at the seal, the bit where the roof met the wall, there were gaps where the smoke detectors and fire sprinklers were still in.
Yeah, yeah.
So they just erected a wall directly beneath and inside and across the fire fire sprinklers, which would, I think, render the fire sprinkler kind of useless if there was a fire. And so I was talking to the real estate agent about it, and I was like, hey, if we moved in here, could we get rid of this wall? And she was like, the problem is the wall is so tightly adjoining the fire sprinkler, and the way they're set off is by those mercury bubbles those thermometer bubbles that burst and they set off the sprinkler. She was like, the wall is so tightly adjoining that you wouldn't be able to take out the wall without setting off the fire sprinkler.
Yeah.
And because the fire sprinkler has been... because the wall's been illegally erected, it's sort of impossible for you to get them to turn off the fire sprinklers, because then they'd ask, why do you want us to turn off the fire sprinklers? And you'd be like, oh, because there's an illegal wall in our house, and then they'll kick you out of the building. And so I was like, well, I don't want to move into this place
Jesus Christ.
Because this seems dangerous and illegal. And they're like, anyway, it's more money than you could ever afford. Enjoy. Yeah.
That's such an interesting, like they're fine with whoever it is that set up the illegal wall. Like, doing illegal shit in the place and messing it all up is fine. But it's like, trying to fix it, then it's like, hey, no snitching here. We're not...
No snitching, because if you tell the strata, they'll kick us all out. I'm like, well, I think that you shouldn't have that there, because you will die in a fire. And then... so will everyone else, because it's an apartment building. It's so bad. Anyway, so house hunting's going great, Jack. It's going great. As you can see, I'm still joining you from my sister's childhood bedroom, which is our podcast studio.
And, that's cool.
Anyway, so you got any... I mean, post-lockdown, You got anything coming up? I guess you're going to, you because pre-lockdown you were going to record your comedy special at Stupid Old Studios, and then obviously the most recent Melbourne lockdown happened.
Well, I definitely am hoping to record this stand-up special like as soon as I can. I don't really know like exactly what the rules are going to be, like when I can record it. So I don't have a date or anything. But yeah, I just want to do that ASAP. And I don't know, I'm sort of like vaguely figuring out trying to move like overseas somewhere, but I don't know. That all seems very daunting and difficult to figure out. But
how many citizenships do you have?
Three. I have Canadian citizenship because I was born there, and I have British citizenship because both my parents were born there.
Well,
so it's pretty cool.
He's very lucky. He's very flexible. But I will say, just looking at the news, and we have some listeners in the UK, and Ben has previously banned them from listening to the show because he hates them. Because he hates England specifically. Sorry, we hate England specifically.
Right.
Scotland and Wales seem all right, it seems, but I don't, I'm not an expert.
Those guys would be loving the people's Ben Jenkins.
Yeah, you could be, you know how like the Wiggles have like international franchises? You could
British Ben Jenkins.
They'll be like, who's Ben Jenkins? You're like, no, I'm British Ben Jenkins. It doesn't matter who Ben Jenkins is.
It's me, like, I'm Ben Jenkins. But I tell you what, I love having a pint with Tyson Fury is what I do for fun. So look at me. But or, voting on Brexit, no specific way, but I'm voting. That's me.
It's just you trying to explain, you know, like at customs when you go in through the airport and they ask you what your job is or whatever, and you're like trying to explain to the person at customs, I'm British Ben Jenkins.
Yeah, I open with, well, you know Ben Jenkins? They're like, no. It's like, well, okay, so I'm like him, but I have,
sorry,
I
have
tolerate
the
British people.
Have you seen the checkout? Well, I was going to say, Jack, looking at the news, England seems like a failed state at this point. Food shortages, there's no gasoline. So I would, if you want my opinion and you haven't asked for it, I would recommend Canada, which seems, frankly, going from strength to strength. But I don't, again, I don't follow the news.
I kind of don't know how. It's a weird one because I feel the same. I feel like my view of the UK is it's sort of a terrifying nightmare world. But at the same time, it's a terrifying nightmare world where
comedy scene's pretty good.
I know a lot of comedians, and I could probably just get booked pretty easily and do work without without much without a big transition period.
Whereas I feel if like, you move to Canada, you'd have less comedy friends, but potentially the shelves at the supermarket wouldn't be empty because Canada voted to leave Canada or whatever.
It would be like a wonderful paradise, but I would have to do more open mics or something. So, yuck.
And in many ways, I mean, you know, open mics, as we all know, are, you know, that's the worst thing a person could ever do, really.
Yeah.
It's one of the... Imagine, do you reckon in Guantanamo, when they were torturing prisoners, do you ever reckon they made them just do a five-minute open mic? All right, look, you can either tell us where the captives are being held, or you can do 5 minutes of material in front of these people who are just waiting to go on themselves.
People who just wanted to hang out at a bar and they didn't want to see comedy. They just want to talk to their friends. And then you just have to force your own jokes on them.
Your thoughts, your jokes on them.
You know, the worst part about that as a joke, which is that there would be people like comedians who would hear about that and be like, I wonder if I could get on for that.
Could I get on the Guantanamo gig? Could I?
Like the desperation for stage time is so desperate. They'd be like, can I get in on that?
So funny.
If I go down to Guantanamo.
Yeah, someone hearing about the Guantanamo open mic and then joining ISIS in order to get stage time.
Kid, you want to make it in this business, you got to do every gig. You got every open mic, every club, every secret prison, every illegal torture facility, you gotta get in there.
Every black site, every CIA black site.
you gotta get tortured in facilities people don't even know exist.
And the thing is, if you tell them where the secret plans are, they'll stop torturing you,
yeah.
Which would mean no more stage time. So the important thing is you can never reveal where the plans are.
You don't rat. You do every gig and you don't rat. That's how you get places. You think I'd be where I am if I wasn't playing the gulags back in my day?
All right. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you today, Jack.
Yeah, man. So great to see you.
Thanks for jumping in to be, I would say, not just British Ben Jenkins, but also today's Ben Jenkins.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's real great to chat to you and, you know, let us know which country you decide. I mean, if people want to get in touch with Jack and plead the case for either the UK or Canada in his
legitimately,
his DMs
I would like that.
At Jack Drew's, you know, campaign for either Canada or the UK.
Or whatever your country is as well. Like, I feel like my biggest fantasy would be to be like the, you know, like someone like Arj Barker, who was never really that successful in America, but he just found just Australia was just, it was just like so... The comedy here was just so nothing that he could just arrive and just be like top dog instantly and just be this beloved. Like, that's what I want to go, like a nation where comedy hasn't really popped off yet.
Uh-huh,
and I can just swoop in and be this like beloved hero of comedy.
I actually think because of your sort of ability to laugh at the horrors of the world.
Yeah.
I think you could actually do well in a post-Soviet state that is deeply corrupt.
Yeah.
Sort of an Uzbekistan or a Kazakhstan sort of situation. You moving there and then becoming just a huge comedian there. And then, but like, I can imagine you having to perform for the president every day or something.
Yeah.
And like, that's like Jack's gig. It's like, there's some like colonel who like needs you to open his like daughter's 16th birthday or whatever. And
yeah,
you're like in like a ratty suit with a tie undone, being like wearing a lampshade as a hat. Being like, I say.
Yeah. I'm like, not even, it's like not even close to comedy, but I'm just like praising the president of that country or whatever. Like, no, really.
Go to a place where the only performing arts allowed is praising the president.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Say what you want about the leader. He is brave. You gotta. His enemies do fear him. You gotta admit it, guys.
And you get real famous and you're doing like The Daily Show, but rather than you like taking down the president or whatever, each day you're just like doing jokes about protesters. And
hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Like democracy activists.
Yeah. It's like, I'm frustrated that my comedy doesn't travel well, but it's only because, like, I'm like on the...
the leader doesn't... You go across
I'm like Montreal just for laughs, talking about how the king of Uzbekistan should be.
Do you guys have the leader here? Do you guys have the leader? No? Okay. Back in my country, we have the... Sorry, it's not really my country. Back in the country I live in now, we have the leader. And he's great. Just boos from the audience. The head of the UN is like writing reviews of your comedy. Like, the praising of the leader is deeply unethical.
Yeah. Terrible human rights record and everything. Like, you just gotta get to know him. He's good.
he gives me drink tokens.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, look, if you live in Canada, the UK, or, again, some post-Soviet state where with a deeply corrupt leader that Jack could praise, do get in touch with him on Twitter at Jack Drews. Go watch his video. I was saying they're on Twitter. You post them on Twitter, but they're actually also on...
If you want
to... They're links to YouTube, right?
Yeah. I think... I don't know how to get any traction on YouTube, but, yeah, it's just Jack Drews as well on YouTube if you want to check him out.
Mm-hmm.
But
there's a bunch of your stand-up on that channel as well, right?
There's a lot of old stand-up that I'm very embarrassed by that I'll hopefully replace. But if you want to see me do stand-up like 5 years ago or
something.
Remember,
a lot of the people who listen to this podcast, even though you might be embarrassed about it, they were probably, if it's from long enough ago, they were probably listening to the Drews and Hing podcast back then. So, you know,
yeah.
They would probably love to see that. In fact, they'd probably be furious you've changed.
Yeah.
They'd be like, why isn't Jack talking more about barefoot running or whatever?
Yeah, yeah. Whatever shit I was into back then.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. As always, you can join our Facebook page, Free to a Good Home, a podcast about classifieds on Facebook, where people post things. I've got a little Discord called The Hingdom, where you can hang out and chat with other people. You can find a link to that in either the Dragon Friends or the Free to a Good Home podcasting. Follow us on Twitter at FTHGHpod. And thank you again to Jack, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
See ya. If you like pina coladas.